The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they all saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord. Pretty much every week, you may not believe this, but it's true. Every week I say to myself, this is the week that I preach the 7-minute homily. And then, 25 minutes later, I go away dejected. So I'm hoping that this will be the week that I preach a 10-minute homily. And the reason is that I think that the Most Holy Trinity is maybe the most difficult Sunday to preach. Typically, by the time Most Trinity Sunday comes around, I'm all on summer vacation and don't have to preach it. So Easter was early enough this year that it got me. But the reason that I really find it difficult to preach is when I was in college seminary, I think it was my second year of formation, my rector said to us, he was teaching us a catechetics class, because before you can learn theology, you have to learn catechesis, so like the catechism. And we were talking about the Trinity, and he said, "Gentlemen, there are certain subjects that you can only talk for a few minutes about before you become a heretic, and the Trinity is one of them." And it makes sense, that statement, when you think about it, because the first, let's say, 400 or so years of the church, the bishops and theologians of the church really had to argue out and think out and fight out and hammer out what exactly it is that we teach about the Trinity. And with the Nicene Creed that we say every Sunday, it's essentially an explanation by what we mean when we say, "I believe in each of the persons of the Trinity." And when you look back at the history of the church, what seems to us now obvious to all Christians, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was in no way clear and no way obvious to all of Christians throughout history. And so there were people, very, faithful, well-meaning Christians who believed that, for instance, the Son was God, but a little bit less God than the Father, right? And it seems because we see the Son praying to the Father, and we see the Son being obedient to the Father. And so there were those that thought that the Son was somehow subordinate to the Father. And there were those that thought that the Son was, kind of half God and half man, or like a Superman, right? Then they had to work through what his place in the Trinity was. They had to work through the place of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. They had to work through, well, what does this mean, one God, three persons? And so some people proposed that it was one God who just sort of interacted with us under three different disguises or ways of appearing, right? We call that modalism. So really did take hundreds of years for the bishops and the theologians in the church. We're talking like the people that know the most in the church. It took them hundreds of years in councils to really establish what we believe about the Trinity, and what is it we can say about the Trinity, and what we're going to stand up in every Sunday and proclaim that we do believe in the Trinity. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm going to leave off discussion of the immanent Trinity. That's what we mean. When we say immanent Trinity, we mean the Trinity in itself, right? The inner life of God. We talk about the economic Trinity in terms of the way that the persons of God interact with the world. So we believe in one God and three persons, right? The persons don't divide the substance. There is one Godhead, but the substance doesn't confound the person. Truly, the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father and the Holy Spirit. We are made in God's image and likeness. You hear us preach about this all the time. So it really matters to us, or should matter to us, when we realize that God is himself eternally communal. God is an eternity of love, we could say. I think that'd be very loose theology, but we could say that God is an eternity, God's an eternity of love, of communion, right? That God isn't for all time or before all time from eternity in solitude, but rather he exists in an eternal, that is to say, without beginning or end, communion of persons. And we are made in his image and likeness. And it's him that we are called to imitate. It's him that we're called to, in a sense, be transformed by love into. And it's him that we're called to be in relationship with. So when he creates us, he says, let us create man in our image and after our likeness. Male and female, he created them. So it's even written into who we are as male, female beings that we're really made for love. We're made for communion. We're made for relationship because we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is an eternal loving communion of persons. But we also know that ultimately our fulfillment is not in each other. However beautiful a family we have, or how many really good friendships we have, we're not fulfilled simply in our relationship with each other. We see, because we're made in God's image and likeness, that we're made for communion, but we're ultimately made for communion with God. We're made for communion with the persons of the Trinity. And that's why for our lives here and now, for everybody, even those who work a lot and even those who have a lot of kids, our lives require prayer. Because prayer is the space and the time in which we enter into dialogue with the Trinity. And with my simple comments, will end with this, with what it means that we pray to a Trinitarian God. We remember that as Christians, all prayer is ultimately to the Father, through the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. So I think our prayer lives, without getting too deep into what all this means and without risking being an accidental heretic, I think our prayer lives really can grow when we in prayer and in our loving dialogue with God, stop thinking of God as a generic reality and realize that God exists from eternity as three persons. It does really change something. If I say to you, think about what you want to say to God this afternoon, or if I say to you, think about what you want to say to the Father, or if I say, think about what you want to say to Jesus, right? Hopefully that helps more concretize and personalize who it is you're talking to, right? Jesus himself has gone to live in the heart of the Father, or to sit at the Father's right hand. And our hope is that as members of his body, that he, as our mediator and intercessor, will take us with him into the bosom of his Father. That as he goes back to heaven and dwells eternally in the depths of his Father's heart, we hope to be there with him. And we hope to dwell with Jesus in the Father's heart. And as we learned a little bit about last week at Pentecost, when we talked about the Holy Spirit, it's all of this that happens by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit that we're made members of the body of Christ. It's by the Holy Spirit that we can be united to Jesus and taken with Jesus into the heart of his Father. It's by the Holy Spirit that we're able to have faith at all. Right? Scripture explicitly says it's only by the Holy Spirit that we're able to claim that Jesus is Lord. So the Holy Spirit enlivens us all. It gives us the power to have faith. It gives us the power to have hope. It makes us able to see who Jesus is. And he's able to unite us to the Father through Jesus. And he's able to open our ears that we may hear what the Father is saying to us. The Holy Spirit's able to teach us how to pray. And so, I don't know how many minutes it's been, but my promise is to keep it simple and absolutely unheretical. We are made for communion with God, and God is triune. And we really should speak to, pray to, listen to, love the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.